Amen. If you have your Bibles, we're going to be in the book of 2 Timothy today. We're pausing from our series, going to focus on Mother's Day today. 2 Timothy, starting in chapter 1, and then we'll be flipping a couple pages down the road a little bit to look at a different part. Before I get started, I do want to start the service by saying happy Mother's Day to all the mothers that we have out there. One of my favorite things to do with my mother is that we had a, there's a pharmacy in town that had like a little gift shop attached to it. And I would go get her gifts and charge it to her account. It was the thought that counted, is what I was told. And so I pushed that to the limits, and every Christmas and Mother's Day, my mom got a gift paid for by herself, for herself. But she didn't get to pick it out for herself. It's been a great day so far, great morning. Excited about what God's going to do. We're going to be in 2 Timothy chapter 1, and we're going to look at Timothy, and we're going to examine the development in his life in understanding of this holiday in which we celebrate. Now, Mother's Day is one of the most popular holidays in our country. I don't know if y'all know that. Father's Day is like a sad write-off compared to Mother's Day. You can forget Father's Day 6-7 times if you want to, but don't you dare forget Mother's Day. I warned y'all last week. I hope y'all were ready and prepared for it. I'm looking at Beck looks kind of disappointed, boys. I'm just going to go ahead and tell y'all that. So just showing up ain't enough. Y'all got to do something else, all right? 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 5 says this, "For I am mindful of the sincere faith within you." This is Paul talking to Timothy, "which first dwelt in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice. I am sure that it is in you as well." Now, if I were to ask you before we read this scripture to find Lois and Eunice in the Bible, how many of y'all would have turned right to 1 Timothy and known exactly where they were? Most people would have already started in the Old Testament, tried to figure out who they were in the Old Testament, and work your way forward. And probably one of the last places that you would have gone is Timothy. But what we see here is a letter written by Paul to Timothy. Who is Timothy? Timothy's a young man who's Paul has left in charge of a church. He's a pastor. He's young in the faith. He's young in life, and he's trying to urge him on. And we see in there that there is a testimony of sincere faith. Now, sincerity is something that our generation lacks. I think we're in the most insincere generation. I call it the, all right, y'all got to quit synchronizing over there. All right, y'all going to get in my head. All right. There's two, three more, and I'm done, okay? But sincerity is not something we lack. We live in the social media world in which our lives might be falling apart, but we're going to take a pretty picture and make everybody think that our world is okay. We've got so many people who fall to suicide and things like that because they're living out this pretend life that everything's okay. And when that comes crashing down, it leaves them no other option, no other thing to do, and there's no sincerity there. Sincere literally means undisguised. We talked about last week that where they would wear masks as actors and actresses, and that's the opposite of sincerity. It's putting on something for somebody. But in here, Paul congratulates or admonishes, and I don't know if that admonish isn't the right word, but he pushes forward Timothy in his faith, saying, remember the sincere faith that you observed from your grandmother who gave it to your mother and who I see in you today. Paul is using his mother and his grandmother as a form of proclaiming him to be worthy, proclaiming him to be valuable, proclaiming him to be where God wants him to be. Because where is it that we struggle as believers most of all? In believing in ourselves. If I have to ask how much faith do you have in your walk with the Lord, I think we would all throw a 5 or 4 out there. I don't know if y'all know this, but according to my mama, I'm the best thing since sliced bread. There ain't a prettier, better preacher in the world than this guy standing before you. And as she often says, that I am her baby no matter how old I get. That's a mother's role, right? There's not a person in the world that's going to believe in you more than your mother. Or that's my understanding. That's the way that I felt. That's the way that I always was uplifted. Now, Dad was there to give me the reality of the situation, but my mom was there to build me up. You see, in Acts chapter 16, 1, we're told that Timothy's father was Greek, a non-believer. And from all understanding that we have of Timothy, that he was absent from the spiritual part of Timothy's life. That his father was not a part of or did not participate in the spiritual development in Timothy's life, which left his mother and his grandmother there to be able to give him a sincere faith. You know, a sincere faith is an unpolished faith. It's not what you want people to see. It's the reality of what you see. It's when people show up unannounced. That's what your house looks like. Now, everybody's house looks good when we're expecting them, right? I've told y'all this. Heather's got me cleaning every room in the house, including our closet. Now, why a guest would ever be in my closet, I don't know. But the closet must be clean before guests can come over, okay? That's a polished faith. That's cleaning up your life for people to see. If you come to my house now, you're going to see some dishes on the counter. You're going to see some clean clothes in a basket. You're going to see the reality of what our house looks like, unpolished. And so a sincere faith is the reality of who you are, not your pretense and what you're trying to get people to understand that you are. Let me ask you this question. Do you have a sincere faith? Do you have a faith that you're okay with people seeing you when you're not expecting them to be watching? Do you have a faith in which people observe you from afar, they can see Christ in you and the reality inside of you? Timothy, by Paul's proclamation, said it's in you as well. Now, I don't imagine Paul sees that. That's why Timothy sees that. That's why Paul's having to tell him that. He's saying the way that you see your mother and the way that you see your grandmother is the way that I see you. I see that sincere faith. And if you go on to chapter 3, verses 14 and 15, it says this, "You, however, continue in the things you have learned and become convinced of, knowing from whom you have learned them, and that from childhood you have known the sacred writings, which are able to give you wisdom that leads to salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus." You see here, what Paul is talking about is a legacy. Now, we all know what a legacy is when it comes to worldly things. For you Alabama fans, Nick Saban left a legacy at the University of Alabama. Y'all will be talking about Nick Saban for years to come. Ever since Nick Saban started coaching at Alabama, you don't hear much about Bear Bryant anymore. Why? Because his legacy might even go above and beyond that of Bear Bryant. You see these people that live out their faith and they become rich and they instill in their children and they're generations of wealth. And we talk about a legacy that they're leaving behind. We're athletes in high school. We want our kids to be athletes. If we do something, we want our kids to do something. If something's important to us, we want it to be important to our children. Why? Because we want to leave a legacy. We want ourselves to last longer than our life. You see, a legacy is making an impact on a future generation by leaving them wisdom, wealth, or some other influence that makes a difference long after you are gone. The question is, what kind of legacy are we wanting to leave for our children? What kind of legacy are we focusing on when it comes to the spiritual development of our children? Yeah, you can leave them all the money in the world and it won't get them where they need to be. You can leave them houses, you can leave them cars, you can leave them debt. Whatever it is you got, you can leave them. But if it's not a spiritual legacy that you're leaving them nothing. You see, if you go and you look at Lois and Eunice and you see what kind of legacy did they leave in verses 14 and 15, it tells us this. They left a legacy of faith. He said, continue in the things you have learned and become convinced of. He said, you learned and been convinced of these things. Who taught them and who convinced them? We've already told them. He's already told us that in verse 1. Lois and Eunice taught him those things, convinced him of those things in his life from that point forward. So Timothy, the pastor, This guy that we read about in God's Word, and the guy that we read about in Acts, and these letters that are written, and the legacy that he left behind, all these years ago, we still talk about Timothy. Never once have we ever learned their mother or his grandmother's name. But the spiritual legacy that they left, this legacy of faith, came from them. It didn't come from his dad's side. It came from his mom and his grandmother. And they taught him. He became convinced of those. And then he lived out his faith the rest of his life, becoming one of the biggest names in the Bible for us to know. It was also a legacy of knowledge. He said, knowing from whom you have learned them. Who did he learn them of? Verse 1 again, or chapter 1 again, verse 5. He says that their legacy of knowledge, what he knew, he learned from his parents. Now, I hate to tell you this. Your kids will learn something from you. And oftentimes, it's not the thing you want them to. It seems like your kids only start learning when you drop your guard. Okay? So make a side comment in the car when they're in the back seat and you don't think they're listening. That's what they're going to pick up. Not you sitting in the pew next to them every Sunday, but this off-cuff comment that you might make because somebody stops in front of you really fast or something like that. That's the word that they're going to pick up. You see, there's a legacy of knowledge in which our children learn from us. They learn lots of stuff from us. They learn, to be honest with you, they learn everything about church from you. Very rarely do you see a kid more faithful to the church than you do the parents. I've seen this several times as a youth minister, and I'll warn you of this. There's a small area of opportunity in which kids want to come to church. And if you don't encourage attendance in church in that small area, you'll lose them. They'll lose interest in church because you're not as interested in it, they'll just stop coming. I've seen it over and over and over in youth ministry in which the kids are fired up, can't get the parents to come to church. The parents get fired up later, can't get the kids to come to church. Because they're watching us and they're learning. The knowledge that they gain is from us. Now, my dad, I love my dad. And we're not much of singers in our family, but we like to sing. And so my memories of my dad is him singing these goofy songs around the house and in the car. And I was going to school the other day with Evan, and I was being my dad and singing a goofy song, making it up just with Evan. And Dad, he looked at me and said, Dad, sometimes I wish you wouldn't sing. And I understood the sentiment. It didn't stop me from singing, but I understood the sentiment. There are days in which they want to join in with you. There's days that they won't. But trust me, they're listening and they know. And every bit of knowledge they have when it comes to being an adult, they're going to learn from you. Also with that knowledge, I want to warn you, parents. We send our kids to school for a long time. And they learn all kinds of stuff, not necessarily from the teachers. Learn a lot more from the people sitting in the seats next to them. If we don't spend time investing in them and counteracting some of the stuff that they're listening in those schools, we're doing a disservice to our children. Third thing that you see in there is a legacy of Scripture. It said, from childhood, you have known the sacred writings. From childhood, you had known God's Word. From childhood, they made it important to you to know Scripture. Oh, the things that we want to do. We'll spend hours teaching them multiplication tables. We'll spend them hours trying to teach them how to swing properly, how to throw properly, how to pitch properly. If that same dedication was given to the Scriptures, to the intense study of God's Word, imagine how great that would go. And the last one, a legacy of salvation. It said, give you wisdom that leads to salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. Now, I'll say this. There is this, it's a new generation of people that are having more spiritual conversations at home than I remember as a child. Because a lot of people that come up to want to get baptized, salvation happened at home. Here in just a bit, Wesson had a conversation at home came here, wants to follow through with what's going on in his life. Okay, that's happening more and more and more, in which people don't come up in the altar except to get baptized. The salvation's already happened. Man, there's a little judgment on us with those, because most of the time when that happens, the spiritual conversation is between the mother and the child, not the father and the child. See, the biggest legacy that we need to focus on here in the Christian church is a legacy of salvation, that we believe in front of our children that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life, and that no one can come to the Father except through him. It's not about your goodness. It's not about your church attendance. It's not about all the morality that is to be added up. Only Jesus and Jesus alone will get us to heaven. And if we don't live that faith out in front of our children, then our children will misunderstand what it means to be saved through Jesus Christ. So where does that lead us today? I got a challenge on this Mother's Day for mothers and grandmothers. I got you three questions I want you to ask. Are you living out a sincere faith for your children and grandchildren to see? Are you true, unpolished, unmasked believer of Jesus Christ? Number two, are you leaving a legacy of faith, knowledge, scripture, and salvation for those behind you? And number three, is your impact going to continue in generations to come? Is your impact going to outlive who you are? Now, fathers, I got something for you. All right? I know it's Mother's Day, but we got to have something for everybody. This goes fathers, grandfathers, future fathers. Ask yourself this question, fathers. Are we conceding the spiritual development of our children to our wives? Have we given up our role established by God in our life to be the spiritual leaders of our family? Have we turned that over to the women, to the mothers? Number two, is it time for you to make great effort in leaving a spiritual legacy for your children? We can no longer, men, lean on our wives. Somebody came to me one time and said, why is everything about the church feminine? VBS is feminine. Most of the time the decorations in church are feminine. Sunday school material is not masculine, it's feminine. The way we teach, the way we lead, everything about church is feminine. And a man asked me, why? I said, because the men gave up the spiritual leadership of the church. And there's a generation of women that had to lead the church. And if you have a generation of people, of women leading the church, naturally that leadership is going to reflect the leaders. It's because men abandoned the calling of God and women had to take it up. It's not a curse upon women. It's a shame upon men. If every man in the church would stand up and do what God called him to do, I don't believe there'd be a room for women to teach. There'd be opportunity for women to teach. I think they would find other areas to serve greatly if the men in the church would serve where God called them to serve. We've got to make great effort in leading us legacy for the children behind. At what age do our children at this church have to reach before a man teaches them? We don't teach VBS. We got male teachers in Sunday school. We got male teachers on Wednesday night. But they go years without seeing men teach. Number three, men, who had the biggest spiritual impact in your life? Was it a female? Mine was it. My grandfather was the biggest spiritual impact in my life, and I thank God for him. He's a patriarch of my family, still is today. I don't care what y'all say about my sermons, as long as my granddaddy calls me and tells me that was a good sermon, I believe it. But the question I had to ask myself is, am I making the same impact on the lives of people in my life that my granddad made in me? See, there's a challenge here today. Challenge is this: we are not where we need to be. So let's take a step in the direction we need to go. That goes for male, that goes for female, it goes for fathers, it goes for mothers. I'm going to read those one last time, and then we're going to close in prayer. Mothers, are you living a sincere faith for your children to see? Are you leaving a legacy of faith, knowledge, scripture, and salvation? Is your impact going to continue in generations to come? Fathers, are we conceding spiritual development of our children to our wives? Is it time for us to make great effort in leaving a spiritual legacy for our children? Who is the biggest impact, spiritual impact in your life? And are you making the same impact in other people's lives? Y'all stand with me. Let's go to the Lord in prayer.